Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com. No one on the corner has swagger like us.
Swagger like us. Swagger like us. No one on the corner has. You know it. What's up? It's
Hello.
That time of the week again when yes. we get to be swaggered up.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are having a good Thursday because we're about to have an excellent Thursday. We've got a very special guest in the studio. But before we get into that, Candace, how was your weekend?
It was lovely, T. How was yours?
It was amazing. We had my daughter Zinati's first birthday party at the Stain City Equestrian Center.
She's fancy.
I was like, why just stop at having a pony in the yard? Why not just take her to where the horses actually are, the equestrian center with the stables, and people were jumping and show, I don't know what you call that,
show jumping,
show jumping and stuff. They were practicing and stuff like that all day. So it was like I planned all that and it was amazing.
It gave you extra points, right?
It gave me a lot of points, actually. And then the following day, we had the dedication at church, which is amazing. It was great. It's a week with family, and it's a family weekend thanks to her.
You know, that's just celebrating beautiful. Life. Pictures looked amazing.
Thank you.
Well, the picture.
The picture on my WhatsApp profile.
Yeah, on your WhatsApp profile.
You know, I've yet to post. I did promise that once she was one, I'd be able to put her on social media and stuff.
No.
But I'm still
so cute.
Reluctant, you know, because now anyone can just
put
it out there. Like, you know, the other media houses tend to do that sort of thing. So I'm not sure. But we'll see. That's how it works. And of course, big things happened all around the world. In South Africa.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay, you go.
Well, the SABC turning around with that, what we spoke about last week, deciding that they're actually going to rescind their earlier decision not to show stuff. And why is the executives, why are they not having to pay for this? Because they wasted the taxpayers' money, right? And then they're like, you know what? Sorry, guys.
I think they don't care anymore, hey?
No,
we're just
don't.
At that point where they just do not
Nobody
give a
really
damn anymore.
Cares anymore.
You know, I watch the news sometimes and I'm just like, firstly, I'm trying to cut down on the news. I watch it once a week if it's on social media. So I watch the news via social media. And I mean, when you look at the news around the world, it's just so much negativity happening, you know, always. I guess that's what the news cover, right? They don't cover feel good stories. They cover disasters.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the biggest disaster for all of us in South Africa was Gugu Zulu passing away.
Oh, that was awful.
It was just so unexpected. And, you know, he's a great guy. I've known him for some time now. And I remember when his daughter was born at Park Lane Hospital. We happened to be there because my daughter was born 2 weeks later, you know. And we were looking at the private rooms and him and his daughter and his wife, Letsego, were there. And, you know, I got to meet the family and the baby daughter. So she just turned one. And that really is what broke my heart think that that little girl is not going to have to live without her father, except in memories
and
things like that, which,
I really
sympathize.
And
he was doing it for a good cause, you know. I'm like, Lord, why don't you take, I'm right here, the bad people are standing by.
No. You know what? I think because he was such just a genuinely lovable person, he never let the celebrity get to his head. And he was just, every picture of his just symbolized a happy person. You know, he gave out so much good vibes. And it's so hard to find someone like that. And I really feel for his daughter, you know. So it's just devastating.
But let's get on with it. I think it's time to introduce our guest to everybody.
Because this is really exciting.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change up this music. So we have something that is actually just swag is good. Swag is good. But I want us to get into a different kind of mood right now.
Okay, don't play like Ghostbusters or something like that.
No.
Who are you
going to
call?
No.
Ghostbusters.
There we go. There you go.
Oh, that's
On some spaceship with Kanye West. So in the studio with us this morning, we have a gentleman by the name of Victor Grassa. Did I pronounce that right, Victor?
Perfectly, Tamisha.
Grassa Masao.
Exactly.
Okay. Ooh. Is that Portuguese name?
It is Portuguese, yes.
Oh, okay. It's just me, Victor, and a bottle of Grassa.
I think I'd like that though.
That would be pretty cool.
Just like drinking with Victor.
So I don't want to get it wrong, but tell me if I am. Victor, you are a spiritual healer, if I'm correct.
Firstly, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you for being here.
Tamishu. That's a great privilege and honor. Yes, I'd like to think that that's exactly how I'd like to classify myself as a spiritual healer. And in many ways, in fact.
Yeah, because, you know, how I came about to meet you and know about you was Marie, who I work with organizing this party, she's a publicist, and I've also worked with her on Eden Life. You know, we shared a story, like literally a day or two before my daughter's birthday party, which was had nothing to do with what we were doing at the time. But it really touched me that she wanted to share something like this with me, because it almost felt like this is exactly what I needed. And she was just bringing it to me. Correct. And I was so excited, because I'm like, the universe has brought me something that I've been putting out there. I need this healing, man. I've been feeling so down for so many years, in fact. And I think a lot of people don't really know that about you sometimes when you're in the public eye, because you have to put your best foot forward. You have to smile.
And you're charismatic, and you're happy. You know, seem happy all the time.
Yeah. But she brought it to me, and I was like, I would love to try it out. But also, the way she felt and looked at that time, I was like, not only do I want to try it out, I want to give other people the opportunity to have a taste of what this is by actually doing it vicariously through myself. And of course, Candace wants to try it as well.
Of course.
But you seem like you are just perfectly fine.
I just need a man, so I need to like clear all blockages for a man.
Okay, yeah. Just put it out there, girl. Just go straight to it.
I'm not even shy.
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for.
I'm wishing, Victor. I'm wishing.
So take us through. How does it actually work? Like, you know, people go to all types of other people, psychologists,
pastors.
They talk to their pastors. Yeah. They friends. Talk to a sangoma, friends, sorts of other people who I know I've been to a tarot card reading once, which was a little bit weird. I must admit, and just like really confuse me. How do you go about doing what you do when you heal people spiritually?
Maybe if I can just tell you a little bit about my story.
Yeah,
and
that'd
be great. How I actually got onto this path is that, you know, I was, if you saw me about 2 years ago, you would not even recognize me. I was on antidepressants and tranquilizers and sleeping tablets and occasionally taking alcohol just to have a little bit of personality. And that's kind of how I dealt with my pain. And I remember my dad passed away, and I was going through a particular crisis in a relationship. And I just got to one day, and I remember in my office getting on my hands and knees in front of my dead father's portrait.
Oh my goodness.
And just turn around to him and say, well, Dad, I don't want to be here anymore.
Jesus.
You know, life makes no sense to me. It's just every day I struggle. And I said, please take me away. I don't deserve this. And from that day, my life changed, because I remember I had to go on a conference to the Drakensberg. And three words came into my mind. Actually, more almost a mantra came into my to my mind, and that was, "I detach with love and clarity." And I remember that just it became this unstoppable force in my mind, and I just kept repeating it from Johannesburg through the Drakensberg for 5 solid hours.
Wow!
I just kept repeating.
I detach with love and clarity.
And from there, everything just started to change. I started to look for answers in a place I'd never looked for before, and that was within myself.
Wow.
And from there, I started writing, and things just started to flow out from within me. And I remember turning around and saying, wow, did I actually just write that?
Jeez, yeah.
And then, you know, I started looking, you know, well how many words is a book? Yeah. And I'd reached like 5,000 words. I was like,
my goodness,
55,000 words is like a normal book. How am I even going to get there? So
yeah.
It was just a process. And then I started really doing what the words came out told me to do. And that was to journey within myself. And suddenly a transformation took place. And really the book and what I do is really my story.
And what were you doing at that time? I mean, for a living, you're saying you were going to a conference. Were you?
I worked for quite a prestigious medical company as a sales and marketing director.
Oh wow!
And here's the thing, you know, being in the medical industry teaches you to be quite scientific and pragmatic in terms of how you view spirituality in
many
ways. So I entered into major conflict with what was I was being shown and science, so to speak, which is also material-based evidence.
But here's my thing. I mean, even with the medical field, there is a certain amount of spirituality attached to it that I think sometimes medical experts don't get into. For example, the placebo effect. It's, which is really about if you believe enough in something, you will be healed or it will manifest. But we try and avoid that. I heard that doctors did a study, surgeons, where they had people in near-death experiences on an operating table, and they placed objects in places that people could only see from above, and yet we have some of this evidence, and the disconnect, I suppose, is between the fact that we have the evidence and we don't know how to explain it. That's when we go, well, it's not scientific because we don't know how to explain it.
Well, you see, this is strange that you brought up near-death experiences and the placebo effect, because that's what I go into in my book as well. And that really is that even if we have to look at spirituality, a lot of it can actually be explained through quantum physics and quantum mechanics. And that is that the world that we look at and the and molecules react according to how they are being observed. And even if you ever want, there's a term called quantum entanglement, and that is no matter how far atoms are apart, if they have an affinity towards another, they will always be attracted. Have you never had a phone call from somebody, and suddenly, or you've been thinking from someone or of someone the entire day, and suddenly they phone you? Well, that's actually science.
There's a study. Yes, there's actually a study to support what you just said, that blood samples were taken taken from athletes, and they were taken to a laboratory, and these athletes were stimulated with images, and they had to picture themselves running and getting excited and etc., and the blood molecules of the particular athlete would actually move at the laboratory based on what was happening in the room. It was crazy. It's very crazy.
But you see, I mean, this world is so obsessed with the external. And in many ways, through cultural upbringing, education, religion. We program even media exposure going into our subconscious. In many ways, we're programmed by our subconscious because many thoughts and a lot of insights, so to speak, or information is just stored somewhere. Have you never thought to yourself sometimes that, like, you act in a particular way and you say, that's just really not me? And that's really a lot of the times just thought structures and patterns that have been imprinted into your subconscious in such a way that you behave in that, because that's kind of what your subconscious is asking you to do. So once we delve into the eternal and we detach from mind and get in touch with who we are, then we see the world completely differently. And that is a true gift and blessing.
Wow. How important is it in what you do to help people with... See, our thoughts are how we interpret the world from a physical point of view with our senses, our smell, taste, touch, sight, hear, all of those. And then from there, we are supposed to use that and filter it through our thoughts. And then our spiritual side kind of takes over in terms of that filter. I suppose our spiritual side is our filter. The things that we've seen, the things that we have experienced, play out in a movie in our mind. So a lot of our memories are just short films of something that happened, and a lot of the times it's not exactly as it happened. And you meet people who have gone through a certain kind of trauma and they keep seeing these pictures. How do you help them with that particular filter?
Well, this is exactly, you know, consciousness. So many neuroscientists have tried to define what it is. And I mean, this will be an ongoing debate forever, because really consciousness is subjective and is a subjective experience to all of us. And you cannot measure what someone actually thinks or experiences within our side. So what we actually do is take, I take you on a journey into your inner sanctuary, where we get to meet your spirit animal as well as your inner child. And it's quite amazing that from that place of complete peace and harmony, that is where true forgiveness happens. That is where you can come face to face with your problems from the past or what's troubling you right now. And with me, together with me, we release it in a place of non-judgment, in a place of pure love, and you detach it and let it go with love, and you actually do something which sounds quite bizarre, and is you actually thank the people, the situations, for the pain that was given onto you. To you, because that's really an opportunity for you to grow. That's really the opportunity for you to blossom. And once you detach, because the key to a balanced and a happy life really is detachment, because that's all we seem to do. Why do we attach to everything? Because really, when we leave this life, all we have is waking consciousness and death. Yet those are the things that we shun away from. But it's the inevitability. You can't take a high-powered, successful job with you when you die. You can't take money. You can't take anything else. But this is what we attach ourselves to. And once you actually let all of that go and you heal from within, then we can start actually looking at reprogramming your mind and letting go of that conditioning that you've been exposed to for so many years. And we start with a fertile new mind. And that is quite beautiful, because then you can start imprinting qualities that best serve you. And from there, those qualities then start manifesting within you. And once that is done, you will start seeing that the blessings in life come to you when you have healed, when you say to yourself that you are deserving. Because if we break that word deserving, I am deserving, what does it say? Take the D-E out of that word.
Serve.
I am serving. That is what life is all about. Serving. Is to serve yourself. Because in turn, once you serve yourself, you serve others. Once you are happy within yourself, once you are healed, and you find the perfection that lies within, that is when it comes to you outside. But everybody's so obsessed with the external, and they forget where we should really be looking at it, and that's inside of ourselves.
No, I just wanted to find out, when you're connecting with someone and they're coming to you with they want to be healed, how much of their willingness to open up spiritually not physically, spiritually, is it going to impact your, I don't want to say reading, but your connection with them? Because if people are shut off, can you still pick up what's happening?
Going back to our mutual friend, she was the biggest skeptic when she first came to me.
Okay.
And once after connecting, a little piece of me goes into you and a little piece of you goes into me. And that's how we connect. And through that soul connection, so to speak, you get to feel who I am, and you get to feel that nothing makes me happier. And you get to feel my passion, the passion within every single cell of my body that is there just to serve you, to help you get you right.
I want to talk about two things that you mentioned earlier, and starting with forgiveness. How important is it for us to accept that, one, pain is inevitable, and people are going to cause us that pain. However, with what you just said now, the forgiveness side of it is actually understanding that that pain that I went through was important for my soul's growth, which is exactly why I can forgive you, because thank you for giving me that. That's what I needed at that time,
exactly,
right?
That's exactly it, Timishu.
That's beautiful.
But forgiveness is hard, many times, because we hold on to that those emotions that is mind.
Yeah.
And the mind, remember, when those emotions of anger, of hatred, that is learnt from a child, from childhood. Because once we are born, we're actually very carefree spirits.
Yeah.
We live in the moment. We're here to experience life as pure consciousness. But once we learn pain, then we learn to manage it according to how others teach us to manage it. And often it's a very negative world in many ways, and we hold on to anger, and we hold on to resentment, and we hold on to bitterness, and this stays within us, and it's burying this pain and this trauma deep that often manifests into physical illness. Look at cancer. Those are cells attacking cells. That is deep conflict within you. And that is why, often sometimes people even just come up to me with a headache and, you know, ask me to take it away. Yeah. And I'm, you know, and I can, because that's really the gift that I have. But and if it does come back, obviously there's a lot of emotional issues that we need to release so that you can heal from within and then heal from without.
I mean, I find my personal journey with forgiveness, what I find difficult, and I'd like you to share yours as well, Candace, is just having that picture replay. You want to forgive someone. You say, I want to forgive you. I'm going to try my best. I forgive you. And then you have that picture of what they did at that time. And you're like, but first, I just want to get you back a little bit for what you did. I want my revenge. I want to tell you how you made me feel. And then I want to tell you what I'm going to do about it. And then I want to hurt you even more, because I can do worse. And by the time that happens, and I found what messes up my relationships is just at that point when I decide, let me try and then tell you first what you did and then show you how much I can hurt you, that it just, I hurt myself even more.
Correct.
You know, I mean, what did you find, Candace, with your journey of forgiveness that helped you?
Yes. You know, because I'm actually in the fields of forgiveness and reconciliation and trauma. And for me, I mean, I try and love the message of forgiveness, because of course I forgave my dad's killer and, you know, so on and so forth. But before I got to a point of forgiving and letting go of the pain I'd been harboring towards him, it was an excruciating process, because you do go through that, right? You say, he did not say sorry, you know, and even when he says sorry, you're like, I don't care if you're sorry, you know, I want you to feel the pain I'm feeling. But then you understand that this person is like the cell holder of your mind. You know, they've put you in this prison because they're not affected by the pain you're feeling. And every time you project out there that you are gonna, you know, suffer and you are gonna feel pain, then you feel the pain and you feel the suffering. So I mean, I'm relating 100% to everything you're saying. Forgiveness is actually the ultimate starting point of living a fruitful and productive life.
It's the key to healing, and that's really the journey that I take people through. And I have to be completely honest, the first 2-3 sessions can be absolutely traumatic.
Why is that? Why are the first sessions traumatic?
Because you're coming head to head with your all pain, those issues, and you visualize them and see them through your mind's eye and in your journey, and that is what we need to deal and release with, but in a loving, compassionate and pure way, and giving thanks to those that have hurt you, or asking for forgiveness from those that you have hurt.
Victor,
and that's where it starts and ends.
I'm sorry, I feel I cut you off a little there. But I wanted to find out with forgiveness, right? Because I could forgive, I did forgive my dad's killer. But then there's, you know, small stupid things in day-to-day life where someone pisses you off. Someone pisses you off and you forget. Like, you know, because I mean, I work in forgiveness, which is actually terrible, because I'm like, I forget that I need to forgive this person because I'm just angry. Like, I'm just like, you just piss me off. So how do you take that mindset and you apply it to every situation? You're constantly aware that I need to forgive in order to be happy.
You know, Candace, that's just what makes us human. You know, and we tend to forget that we really are here for a human experience. Because I mean, when we come into this lifetime, we get to experience what love is not. Okay, and that is the best way for us to connect to what it and understand what it really
what
is. Because what would love be without hate? And this is what we're here for, is to experience that polarization, so to speak, to really appreciate and connect with what really does matter, which is all love and the higher frequencies of ascension, so to speak, of love, and all those wonderful aspects that flow out of it, such as compassion and passion and humor. So for us to understand it, we have to experience what it is not. And that is a lot of the time, that's our human experience. And coming back to what you say, how do we deal with those situations? Well, in reprogramming your mind in many ways, imagine a mind that when it drifts off and wanders, only creates positive thoughts that best serves you. And that's really
amazing.
Just reprogramming of the mind. You've programmed it all your life to think negatively. Anger, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And this and that.
This is an anger moment.
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So once you do that and you reprogram your mind from within, because remember, you are in charge of your mind, not the other way around.
Yes.
We have just been programmed.
The mind is just a tool.
Correct.
It's your tool, like any other tool.
It facilitates consciousness. It's not a byproduct of it.
Yes. Now, I want to go through your journey from that time when you got to that conference until you wrote that book for those 2 years. What were some of the things that you learned? Because you said you went out there and you also had a search for knowledge about how you can help yourself and eventually help others.
100%. So a lot of these techniques started coming through, and then it was like, okay, I need to read about this now because this needs to make sense to me, because I'm skeptical, you know? And I just kept writing and researching and going into the mysteries of life, so to speak, such as reincarnation and as you mentioned earlier, near-death experiences, and going to things such as neuroscience and going to things such as quantum physics to understand. Then, I mean, thought. There's electrical charge that happens in a neuron, and that moves through to a synapse into another neuron. Okay, hence a thought is created, and if you sufficiently charge that thought, more neurons are activated. Okay, now if we look at it and I say to you, okay, well, you know, a sufficiently charged thought can then charge the atoms around you. If you look exactly, so if you look at, let's take a wire with electricity, where there's an electrical current, you break that wire, that current breaks.
Yes,
right. But if the charge, the initial charge at source of that electrical current is sufficient, a light is emitted and you see a spark. But the current continues onto the other side. So it actually jumps through air, even though air is a poor conduit for electricity. If the charge is sufficient enough, it will spark and move to the other piece of the broken wire. So do thoughts, except it charges the atom all around you. And that's why I say to people, be careful what you wish for.
Because you will get it.
Because it is.
And then you won't like
people
it.
People don't understand. Whether you like it or not, we are creators. We are made in the likeness of God. Metaphorically speaking, or religious speaking.
As literally as that. And the image of God is a creator through his word, right? So you think it and we say these things. Because first it starts with, I'm thinking, life is so bad. Life is terrible. My life. And then you say it. Everyone you meet. How are you? No, life is horrible.
It could be better.
Correct.
You know. FML
on Twitter. I
heard about that. Okay, kids, I heard about that. I didn't know it before, but I thank Candace for being around to teach me about you guys, young
the youth
people.
Lingo.
Yeah, the youth lingo. And then we wonder why our life is exactly what we created.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't get the signals of what it is that you ask for, because often what you ask for is given in exactly how you've asked for, maybe come to you in a way you're not really expecting it.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, you're in a bad relationship and it's really a traumatic relationship. And at one stage you turn around and say, I don't want to be here anymore. I've had enough. I want to be happy. The universe conspires for you, not against you. So here it goes and it says, okay. Boom, here you go. It makes your current relationship even worse.
Yeah, and you're like, no, but
it's like, oh my God, I asked.
With him.
I asked for happiness, my goodness. What's going on
here?
I
need to be happy with this person.
Exactly.
They will love me.
So what happens is you're given the opportunity to detach and walk away. But what do most people do? Because of the comfort zones and because of their fear of moving out of it, they fight and obsess about salvaging something that's
broken. But it's also
already
a cultural thing, because culturally we are taught
programmed
to keep trying and
until
do it again.
The wheels fall off.
And from a religious point of view, it's like you just don't, like, especially with a marriage, you just don't divorce no matter what, unless someone cheated and it's clear. And then you're waiting for someone to actually do that. So you say, ha, I knew you'd do it, and now it's over. And now you don't detach
yourself. Going back to religion, let me tell you quite a humorous story. You know, I was brought up Roman Catholic.
Okay.
And Roman Catholic, you're not allowed to masturbate.
Yeah.
So me, as a virile young man, you had to be saying five Hail Marys and five Our Fathers every time after the confession, because I thought I was going to hell. So
after a while, like, you know, as a teenager, you could, like, how many five Hail Marys can you say? You know, you could, like, five times five.
You had the whole day to say Hail Marys. That's what you were doing all day.
Yeah, between sessions.
You do it, Hail Mary, do it.
But expanding on that, that did have a tremendous amount of an impact on my sexuality growing up.
Mm.
Also with the age gap between my parents, I couldn't discuss anything, 40 years apart from my parents.
Yeah, wow.
You know,
but our generation, you just don't discuss that.
And, exactly. And maybe in black cultures as well.
Mm.
Like up to today, sex is still a very taboo topic, you know, so...
You know, I grew. You know what my sex education was?
What?
70s porn videos on Betamax.
Yeah,
I picked up some price German words.
Yeah, yeah,
from it,
yeah.
But that's really.
Das ist gut, yeah.
Schnell, schnell.
What an education!
And of course, Scope magazine, which is just exactly. Totally useless.
I feel like I'm very out of the loop of those.
You weren't there.
I wasn't.
All that stuff was illegal, but you got it. But let's get to the meat and the heart of it right now.
Yes.
I've decided, putting this out there, that, you know, myself, you spoke about your journey with alcohol and your the chemicals that I suppose your psychiatrist was giving you as, first was a way to numb it, and the alcohol was a way to actually give you a personality. For me, I find that when I'm not on anything, I have a personality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Absolutely.
But I've found that in my journey, especially over the past couple of years, what I've used alcohol... drugs or whatever it is that is out there, the party life, is actually to just pull back my personality. So if I go clubbing, I know that if I've been drinking, then I'm not going to go on the dance floor and I'm not going to be out there. I'm just going to be chilled. I'm going to be in my VIP spot, you know. And and the same thing at home. If I'm unhappy, I know doing is, on my way home, I'd be like, let me go past the bottle store, get something, so that by the time I get there, I'm just like, whatever comes my way, wow, I am not going to deal with it on that basis because it's going to be very painful. So whatever's thrown at me, I'll just be like, it's okay because I'm not really here anyway.
Wow. That's because you're very connected spiritually to Meshu. And I think a lot of it is that in many ways we tend to drift away from our spirituality. I mean, I've gotten to a point now that if I'm having a difficult situation or anything like that, I can't wait to actually delve into my spirituality.
Wow.
Into the inside of me to actually try and get some sort of wisdom or discernment.
But it's been scary for me. I think
a lot of people,
truths, now you have to act on them because you know them. And for me, it was like,
once you know,
I don't
want
to know because then I'm going to have to act and it's going to be a difficult decision. But deep down, it's the best decision for everyone. A lot of the times,
100%. That's what resonates with all of us. But I mean, we live in a world that that teaches you to look for answers outside. And it's obsessed with the external. So here we're telling everybody, no, all the answers lie internally. Within. So imagine what that would do to the world as we know it.
But I find that when you're a spiritually connected being, when you find that answer, because I mean, you knew exactly what you were doing when you were doing it, right? The drinking and whatever. But as soon as you decided to make a change, I feel like the universe starts conspiring with you and they bring you people to tell you certain things. You run into Victor at a store and he tells you something, and you run into, you know, so all these coincidences that society calls them start to happen, and all of a sudden you start doing your spiritual work because the universe is nudging you in that direction, you know? So at least that's what I find.
But that's exactly that is the whole, that's the crux here, is to be able to recognize the signs of what you're putting out there, because that's how it comes to you. That when you ask for a certain thing, it may come in a chance meeting, so to speak, or a certain person or a job, or a door is opened to you. Mm. And it's up to you to have that strength and conviction to open it and walk through it.
Courage.
Courage.
In Joshua, it says, I only require one thing, that you have strength and you're very courageous.
Wow.
So we're about to do that now. But before we do, before we, because we're going to do that whole
psyching
thing,
up the courage,
I just want to ask you something. We spoke about, you know, the material, and you were like, attach the material. And I like my car, man. And I like nice things on the show. I like having some money, you know?
We all like nice things.
Before we get into this, like, you were the marketing director at this pharmaceutical, and then you weren't. But you're still okay, right? You know, like, you're still, you know.
I'm still okay. But you see, this is the whole thing.
It's like you're back home at your parents' house.
Who am I to say to you that if that's what makes you happy,
and
if that what gives you some sort of fulfillment, to drive a nice car or wear nice clothes, what's wrong with that?
Ooh,
there's nothing
like
wrong
that.
With that. That is just being maybe a little bit more balanced with regards, because I went through, I need to tell you, I ascended to the highest, the higher frequencies of love for a week.
Mm. Mm.
And some people might call that enlightenment, but I can tell you that for one solid week, I was like literally floating on cloud nine.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just pure love. All I felt like doing was hugging and loving everybody.
Oh, that's
I
me
didn't
every day.
Need to sleep. I didn't
that is
have
much better
need.
Than we.
It actually is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't need, there were no attachments. There were just no feeling. You needed nothing but just
love.
Yourself. And that, and when I, and then I knew also at that level that I was ready to ascend.
Mm.
But I knew that I had an important message and I had to come back to a place of balance.
Yeah.
And you want to live life successfully or you want to live an abundant life, and that is to live within balance.
Yeah. Oh. But abundance will come to you either way. So I actually don't have to worry about
whatever
that.
Whatever you
You don't have
and
to worry about
abundance,
being broke.
Yeah.
That's what you want to ask.
But, you know, what I found is also, you know, the abundance that we think is abundance. It's not necessarily that you just, your bank account swells up.
100%.
A lot of the times it's, you just have
happiness.
People who help you, you know.
Mm.
There's some things that money just cannot buy.
Exactly.
I refer to even my daughter's birthday party that we had. You know, there were just people who at that birthday party who could have maybe afforded that, but they wouldn't have had the opportunity. The value of it, they couldn't buy.
Mm.
And it was just God, because I call that God, other people might call the universe, saying, here, I will give this abundance to you, but in my way. And I've always found that his way is not necessarily, shucks, I go to the dealership and I'm like, here you go.
It's cash money, baby.
Something else happens, but it's worth much more and it's a lot more satisfying in that way.
Absolutely. Hmm. Look, you know, I feel it often in terms of when I do heal people, in that, you know, I take on your energy. So it's really quite difficult for me in the beginning when I do feel your pain. And often I sit there in tears with the patient. But once you start healing, and once that transformation happens within you and you start blossoming as the perfection that is inside of you, that comes to me too.
Mm.
And that is worth absolutely every single step of the way. That is the greatest gift that you can give to me.
Wow.
Let's be courageous now.
Okay, let's do it. So what do we do? What's the first thing that we do?
Yeah,
okay. We're gonna, I'm totally open right now. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this first session, which is... Okay, a session that we're going to have, but we're also still going to have another first session to go through this. But
correct.
Let's start now.
This is like a synopsis, five minutes.
All right.
Yeah.
I want you to close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's start breathing comfortably. Always through your nose. Inhale. Long, deep breath. Hold for 2 seconds at the apex and release slowly. Always through your nose. Breathe in white light. Picture the white light coming into you. Hold. Breathe out negativity or stale energy. Picture it as dark gray smoke coming out of your nostrils. Now just get into that rhythm of breathing. Start relaxing. Now I want you, Tamishu, with all your intent, to picture a visual of your heart. Let it come to mind. Let it show itself to you. Do you see it?
Yes.
What color is it?
It's white and red, more like a crimson.
Okay.
And that's at the top. It's red, and then there's the white kind of coming in the middle, and at the very bottom it's gray going into black.
Okay, right. Let's go into that part right at the bottom that's gray and black. I want you to zoom in and picture a cell at the center of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
What color is it?
Well, it's opaque. It's almost transparent.
Okay.
It's translucent. It's
now I want you to focus.
There's a lot of blue.
Yes. I'm going to send you love and happiness and healing through a white light that you will see illuminating that cell. Once you see a bright white light, let me know. I'm starting now.
Actually, the light started coming even before you, as you were saying it, just before that. I just saw it coming.
Okay, good. Now I want you with intent to tell that soul to spread that message to the rest of the cells in your heart.
It's moving fast, it's telling them. It's communicating, and the others are just telling the others as well, spreading like a virus almost.
Now I want you to zoom out of your heart, out of that cell. Let's look back into your heart. What do you see?
It's that blue at the bottom that was grey and mostly black. It's blue. The edges are still a little bit grey, a little bit black, but they are starting to be pushed away.
Good. I'm going to remove those last grey areas out now.
They're gone.
Good. Now I'm going to seal it with a white light of love and of happiness. And today, your burdens will be lifted and you will have a beautiful day, for you will live with heart energy today. Tell me when it's sealed with a pure white light of love.
Got it.
Okay, wake up.
It was fighting me a little bit there at the end. It was fighting, but it eventually connected. Wow.
How do you feel? Ooh, you look like you're about to go to sleep.
You know, I feel and I don't want to make people think that I'm making this up in any way, but I really feel energized from literally my middle of my chest area. It's just moving out that energy. I'm breathing much deeper, and I'm lighter. There's like baggage. My bags have gone. Like, they were right there on my shoulders too. And
look refreshed.
If I went boxing now, it would be dangerous. I could throw a jab, man.
No, but that's fascinating.
It's incredible, the power of the mind and what you've just done with connecting to that spirit and allowing that to happen. You were saying, Candace? Yeah.
How did you read that, though? So, to the normal listener, or I posted a live video, viewer, how would you explain that process? Like, did you pick up any energy when he described it?
Absolutely.
Did you see what you were seeing?
I see images too. So, because we connect, I see what you see often. And I manipulate that energy with color, with the manipulation of molecules and atoms, so to speak, and remove blockages, dark energy, negative energy, and replace it with a little bit of me, a little bit of life force. My gift to you.
Thank you so much.
So I want to know, so how does the healing process happen? So after that happens, right, the whole spiritual cleansing, and you've penetrated his heart with light. So does he have to tell you the problems he's facing? So would he say, you know, these are the barriers in my life, and you work through it together?
It's up to you. I mean, what I do is, in our first session, is we go into you, into your soul, into your inner sanctuary, and there's where we will release, and that comes out is unbelievable what does come out, in terms of images, in terms of emotions, in terms of words, and that gets released into a black bag, so to speak, and we ask for the assistance of your spirit animal, which inevitably shows, and to take that out of your soul in many ways, but release it with the right spirit, and that is with forgiveness, love, acceptance, and setting it free, so it no longer has power over you.
That's beautiful.
You know, I found that through that experience as well, one of the things when I said, the light is coming through and the color's changing at the bottom, the resistance was almost myself that I've been used to for so long, trying to go, hey, hang on a second, this is our comfortable place. You know, I mean, what am I going to do without this pain now? Now I've kind of got to, I'm going to live different, but I'm so used to this. As much as it's negative, I don't want it, but who am I going to be without this? I want to hold on to my bed.
The fear.
Yes.
100%. And that's really what it is. The lower frequencies, the lower vibrations is pure fear. So anger, wrath, lust, jealousy, negative detachment. All of those just are aspects of fear. And that is what holds on to you. And letting go of fear is quite scary.
Isn't it? Because the little monsters are fighting
exactly.
to stay.
They're they like, hold
I,
on. For
I have
dear
property
life.
Rights. Yeah. I'm staying.
Once one gets in, they invite all the others.
Yeah, right?
You've got a hard time.
So you've got like a little squatter camp up there.
I've got a
medical. You're like.
My mental red ants are fighting. They're working hard. But they did a good job today. They did a very good job.
I'm
thank
proud
you for
of
that.
You.
How does a process like, how long does a process like this take, you know, for someone? So let's say someone signs up and says, Victor, I want you to help me heal or facilitate my healing.
It really depends on you. I always insist that, you know, please do the exercises that I tell you to do, because it's, you know, I'm here to help you, but you need to help yourself as well. I'm here to hold your hand through the process and do the energy work with you, but I can't do it on my own if you don't do the work yourself as well.
This doesn't work if you don't
work.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So, go ahead.
Sorry. So if someone comes to you and says, Victor, you know, I know who I am as a person, I'm spiritually enlightened, blah, 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 but I just don't understand why this part, my career, I don't understand why my career is not taking off. Help me. Can you work from that 100% premise?
100%, because I also do business healing. Obviously, because of being a marketing and sales director, I've had 15 years experience of that. So we sit and dissect your business plan, and then we heal you spiritually as the CEO of the company, as the leader, develop your leadership qualities, because if the people look up to you and respect you, and this is what we do, is and then is put heart into your business. More businesses need heart.
Yes.
And if you apply heart to your business, then your customers will come to you, not the other way around, because you connect with them.
Yes.
And this is what we need to do more of.
And on both the business and the personal and the relationship level, one, I suppose, will encounter as well the resistance from those around you who, you know, for lack of a better phrase, kind of it serves them for you to be where you always have been in the state that you've been in, right? How do you work with that resistance? How do you get past that?
Because you will have the courage and the strength and the invincible determination to stay on your path towards your goal. Nothing will stop you, and you know that you will accomplish it because you would have cultivated those aspects within you.
And how amazing is it that once the universe has conspired with you on this journey, actually nothing really can stop you.
No.
But isn't that the point? Once you
commit,
once you open up the conduits to receive and you have let go and you understand the concept that living outside of you is acceptance and living inside of you is expectance.
Oh.
Expectance.
That is when everything comes to you. That is when the illusion that is the outside world is suddenly dissipates, and when the reality of your inside world is made known to you. That is when you become the creator. That is when you manifest all that you wish for, and you do it from the perfection that lies within us all.
Jeez.
I wouldn't mind actually even getting into a bit of the science of this, because we got about 8 minutes, and I think some people are thinking out there, maybe we're just talking a lot of hocus pocus jumbo. It's very esoteric.
Of course, yeah.
But you did mention some quantum physics, and scientists have found that before they thought that there was this thing called black matter, and now they found that it's actually all over. There's more connecting us through this black matter, because we all have it, and the universe and the world around us, because that's what the building blocks of the universe are, than anything else. And
you know, I'm smiling.
Because really what you're talking about now is you're connecting with that matter to create that. You're basically painting a picture with it.
Correct. 100%. And here's the thing. Ordinary matter, that which we know of, is about 4.6% of the energy composition of the universe.
4.4%.
Around 4.6%. Okay. That's what we know. Dark energy is sitting at around 72%. And Jeez. Dark matter, which you spoke of, is sitting at around 24-25%.
Okay.
So what we don't know is actually sitting at around 95%.
Yeah.
And NASA, measures the energy composition based on the Big Bang and the residue that's left.
Mm.
That's how they actually measure the composition of the universe. So what we are actually being told is 95% of the universe, we have no clue what it is.
Jeez.
Just like DNA, for example. You know, 8% has a known function, according to the latest studies.
How many?
8% of our
just
DNA.
Just 8% is what we know.
Correct.
That's
so
scary.
92% has been labeled junk DNA.
92% junk.
Junk DNA.
That's a lot of junk in
that's
one human.
A lot of junk.
That's a hell of a lot. So yeah, most of the DNA within us has been classified as junk.
Can I ask something though? You're going to be going on this healing process with Victor, right? Mm. You've already signed up and you're going to be doing it. Victor, can I ask that you come back? Like after a certain period of time, he needs
we're
to come
check
back.
In. We're gonna check
so
in.
That, yes, because I think a lot of people are sitting at home and I think no matter how much you explain the junk matter and what, they're going to be like, y'all are crazy. So I
let's see what happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he breathed in. Now he thinks he's like Superman.
Yeah.
No, but I think it would be amazing if you could come back into studio maybe just before your September tour, possible.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're going to be at Galagay State, right?
Yeah, on the 3rd of September, I'm having my first talk show, which is about a book, and I will take the actual audience on a spiritual journey to meet their spirit animal, the inner child, and it's really going to be something quite special and incredible, and I'd love people to have there. Can I mention the site?
Yes, please.
The site is www.legendinyou.co.za, and you can click on events and buy yourself a ticket. I'd really love you to be
so
there.
So Legend in You is INYOU.
YOU.
.co.za. And you go to events and you can purchase a ticket.
100%.
Okay, great.
Also I'll be there.
Yes, you will.
I'd love to help and talk or something and say what my journey was as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. Because I think a lot more people within, whether it's South Africa, in our own spaces, ourselves, need more of the spiritual guidance. Because if anything, when you look at the reflection of the world, we are missing that internal.
Correct. What
you
did
know?
The Dalai Lama say? This world needs less entrepreneurs and more storytellers and healers.
Wow.
And he's spot on. That is what I need. That is my journey.
Yes.
My journey is to tell a story. My journey is to heal. My journey is to connect you with the soul, and connect you with your heart, so that you in turn can transform and affect the lives of others.
Yes.
So and one by one.
Like that cell, that one cell that was transforming the other cells in my own body. And you know, you spoke about pain and people carrying pain. Personally, I don't carry pain physically. I've realized that about myself. It's very strange. But I've thought of this idea, which I think is exactly what's happening with me. Like everyone carries things differently.
Yes,
you know, some
yes.
people have a backache or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I've been struggling with for the past, funny enough, two and a half years was my weight. I can't, like for whatever I do, whether I eat, I don't eat, I run.
So that's your manifestation.
And for me, that's where my pain is. You know what I mean? That's my physical, I guess it all goes into those fat cells and hides there, which is good because it means that I can get rid of it and it's not affecting my organs.
Yes,
people.
Yes, like ulcers, because some people manifest in ulcers, migraines, cancer.
Yes.
Like you just mentioned.
It manifests in so many different ways.
But I think this kind of spiritual, I'm so glad that you actually came on the show because I think a lot of people are, you know, although they're doubtful, but we've given people something to think about. And I think that's always the beginning of transformation.
Well, my favorite patients are the skeptics and the ones that doubt because they become the biggest believers afterwards. So, you know, all I can say is that, you know, believe in the perfection that you are. What I have exists within you. I've just been fortunate enough to be awakened to it. And I'm here to help you on your path to greatness. That's my contribution to this world.
Mm. Well, thank you very much. I think there's nothing more to add.
And I think that you are going to be in a remarkable story too. So I'm just excited to see your process and your journey. You're going to be as happy as me, laughing all the time.
I'm looking forward to that. Like getting up at 7 in the morning, like just like
going for a run.
You know,
hugging everyone.
Like, yeah, you know, Candace, I want to try that, but ish.
Yeah, no, but seriously, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm so looking forward to this journey and this transformation.
Thank you, me too.
And I can't wait to have you back on the show. So
thank
it's a date.
Candace, it was an absolute privilege being here.
Thank you, Victor.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, on that note, we'll see you next week.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.